The Marshall M. Frederick Sculpture Museum in Saginaw is currently hosting, and through June 29th, its latest exhibit, American Visionary, John F. Kennedy's Life and Times. And here to talk about the exhibit and also her newly started tenure as the new executive director of the Marshall M. Frederick's is Megan McAdow. Thanks so much for taking the time to join us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
The museum has been there for a good number of years, a long time predecessor of yours. Walk us through, before we talk about the specifics of the current exhibit, a little bit about you and how you came into this position.
Yeah. So I've actually been working in the museum field for close to 20 years. And for the last 5 years, I've been at a historic house museum in Flint, the Applewood Estate, which actually has two Marshall Frederick sculptures there. And when I saw that they were offering this opportunity at the Marshall Frederick's Museum, I got really excited and started actually kind of going back through my life of all of the times that Marshall Frederick sculptures have touched my life, from going to Eastland Shopping Center with my grandmother as a child and seeing the lion and the mouse there, to the Saints and Sinners sculptures at Oakland University and the Thinker sculpture at Cranbrook. And so I found it really, you know, powerful for myself, and figured if I had all of these wonderful memories and experiences of his sculptures, that so many other people likely did as well. And so I was really excited to both share his art and the legacy that he has here in Michigan.
For those that may not be as familiar, how about a little bit of the backstory, the history and career of Marshall Frederick's himself? You mentioned several places where his works are on display, and obviously he is a Michigan fixture, but tell us more about the artist himself.
Yeah. So Marshall Frederick's, actually kind of call him America's sculptor, because he was so prolific. He received so many awards throughout his life. He got started in art at the Cleveland School for Art, where he studied. And after he graduated, he went to Europe to apprentice. And he sought out Carl Millis, one of his favorite sculptors in Sweden, and was able to work in his studio and a few other places in Europe before coming back to the States, where Carl Millis invited him to teach at the Cranbrook Academy of Arts. And he taught sculpture there. He was busy, active working on his own works as well. That was from 1932 to 1942, when he then enrolled in the armed forces. After the war, he came back to Michigan, and his career just took off. His sculptures really, I think, speak to so many different people, from children to adults. They some of them have kind of a humorous nature to them, spiritual nature to them, and he is has works in public works, which is really wonderful, all over the country and the world. And so,
is that something that, by his nature and the art that he wanted to leave behind, that he didn't want to have it only in museums, but he wanted or had a belief that the art should be available and open to the public like that?
I think so. He with his works being in all of these, from government buildings that are open to the public to shopping malls where everyday people could enjoy them, parks, I think that he really did want his work to be accessible to all. And he also didn't copyright all of it. So, for example, the Spirit of Detroit sculpture that's in downtown Detroit, he didn't copyright that. So actually, the city of Detroit uses its imagery for all sorts of things. And, you know, it was really just to be there for the people to enjoy however they wanted to.
You mentioned your time in museums for a number of years, and then the time at the Applewood Estate, where you came in regular contact with his work. Was it sculpture? Was it one of the other visual arts? Was it music? What first attracted you towards the arts in general, and then wanting to make a career being involved with museums as you are?
Yeah. I've enjoyed art and museums ever since I was a child and traveling with my parents and being exposed to architecture and art, and I love all medium. But I actually majored in anthropology because I really like to look at the context of the cultures that create the art. And that, while I was studying anthropology, got my first museum internship and went on to work at the Detroit Institute of Arts and several other museums now. And it's just such a wonderful field because they're always discovering new artists, new works, and the stories behind them, I think, are really interesting, both the artists and the works. And so there's always something new. There's always something different.
Megan McAdow is the new director of the Marshall M. Frederick Sculpture Museum in Saginaw, and we'll be talking shortly about its current exhibit, American Visionary, John F. Kennedy's Life and Times. For those who come to the museum, obviously a lot of it is focused in and around Frederick's work. How much exhibit space then is in flux or is fluid to have exhibits like this move in and out, or is there a flexibility or a versatility even with the Frederick's works that are on display to plan for and adapt the space to host special exhibits like this?
We have three galleries at the Marshall Frederick Sculpture Museum. The main permanent gallery houses over 200 works of Marshall Frederick's that he himself actually designed the layout for that space. So those are on permanent view, and we use the works that he created as inspiration for our temporary rotating exhibit galleries. So for our current exhibit, the John F. Kennedy exhibit, Marshall Frederick's actually sculpted a bust of John F. Kennedy that's located in at the Macomb County Building. He did that in 1970. And so when we came across this photography exhibit on JFK, we thought, what a great tie-in to both highlight Marshall's work, but also explore this topic that never seems to get old to the public. The intrigue of the Kennedy family is strong even for people who weren't alive during his lifetime, like myself. And these photographs, it's such a wonderful way to explore that family and the times surrounding his career.
How did this exhibit get put together? Is this the work of one primary photographer or several as it looks at both the life and then public life of the late president?
The exhibition was initiated actually by some of the Kennedy family members. So in 2017, it was the centennial year of JFK's birth, and they wanted to find ways to celebrate that. So they worked to compile a rather large book that has amazing photography in it. And from that, they then had an exhibition developed, and it is over 77 photographs that are from a variety of different photojournalists. And it really was kind of the golden era for photojournalism, where magazines like Life magazine and Time were really the main mode where the public was learning about what was going on throughout the world. But what I learned, which was really interesting, was there really were only a core of about 60 photojournalists that were covering the whole world at the time. And the curator of this exhibit, who was also a photojournalist from that time, said that they would kind of get an assignment and they would parachute in on the story and just capture, of course, film photography. So they would capture hundreds and hundreds of images where maybe one might be selected for a magazine. And so there are over a dozen different photojournalists represented in this exhibition, and the perspectives that each one takes, each photograph is really a work of art in and of itself and tells its own story. It's really incredible.
American visionary John F. Kennedy's Life and Times opened at the Marshall Frederick Sculpture Museum in mid-March and runs through the end of June. Megan McAdow is the new director at the Marshall and Frederick's Sculpture Museum in Saginaw. Assuming that this is, by your description, a touring exhibit, where was it when it came to us? And then do we know where it is headed from here?
When it first opened, it opened at the Smithsonian Museum. And it was quite an event there with many of today's politicians from both sides of the aisle attending, because Kennedy really does have an appeal to all sorts of the political spectrum. And it's been traveling for a couple of years. And I believe that we're the only Michigan venue for this important exhibition, which is really great. So those interested, you're not going to find another place in Michigan. And I believe after leaving us, it may be going to China for a couple of years. So luckily we have it up for a couple more months, and it's a great opportunity for people of Michigan to get to see this.
Salute to Saginaw for landing something of this prominence then. As you were preparing to come on board, and Marilyn Wheaton was ending her tenure, obviously the plans for bringing this in had to be underway for some time. So in the process of the transition, what else was being worked on, and where has your input now in assuming control of this as director of the museum to plan for what is next? How far out now are you beginning to make your own particular mark on what will be coming next to be on display?
Yeah, so after, as you mentioned, we had to secure this show, you know, over a year in advance. But what we've been working on at the museum these last few months is putting together a host of programming that associated with the exhibition. So we've been doing lunch and learn programs where you get a free catered lunch and learn about a specific focus topic around John F. Kennedy and his times. We're doing these great Saturday create and take programs where families, grandparents can bring the grandkids and create a piece of artwork related to the exhibit. And we're also going to be doing a movie at the museum night, where we'll be doing a viewing of a new documentary film on JFK with one of Saginaw Valley State University's history professors leading a dialogue after the show. Of course, movie snacks, you know. And so that's been really exciting to do a lot of complimentary programs with the exhibit. And, of course, you know, you can view the exhibit before and after the programs. All of that's on our website. We have exhibitions planned throughout, I believe, up to 2020. And so we are starting to explore later in 2020 and 2021 what new and exciting things we can bring to the museum. We often, as I mentioned, try to tie something to Marshall Fredericks, but again, he was so prolific, it's really not hard to find connections. But we also really like to highlight sculpture, and not a lot of places around our state have an opportunity to really experience sculpture shows. And so we're looking at finding and exposing our community to some really new and different things.
Congratulations on the appointment. It sounds like from all you've shared with us, it's definitely a good fit for you coming to take over at Marshall Fredericks as the new director. Megan McAdow is in that position now at the Marshall M. Fredericks Sculpture Museum in Saginaw, and on display through June 29th, the photography exhibit, American Visionary, John F. Kennedy's Life and Times. If folks want to know more about gallery hours or to follow along for when some of these special programs will be held, best to go to a website, a phone number?
Yeah, absolutely. Our website, we keep very up to date, and it's the best place to get all of the details. That's marshallfredericks.org. But also our Facebook page. We're always posting reminders of what's coming up. And, you know, we're open every day except for Sunday. And admission is always free. So it's a really a great community resource that we have here for the region and the state. And we hope that people come check us out.
And the Kennedy exhibit there through June 29th. And as always, the celebration of the work of America's sculptor, Marshall M. Fredericks. Megan, thank you so much for spending some time with us. Good to get to know you. Don't be a stranger. And thanks for bringing the news of the Fredericks Sculpture Museum to us today.
Thank you so much. Thank you.